The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and we're here at La Campagnoli restaurant just outside of San Gervasio in preparation for the night for San Gervasio Pro-Am presented by Santa Dassault. And joined here as part of the On Tour with Freddie Winter series on the TWBC podcast by none other than the man himself, the man, the myth, the legend, Freddie Winter. How are you doing?
Doing wonderfully. Extremely well fed. Very happy to be here. It's good.
Absolutely, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. So, week has gone by since the last competition, the Caiaphas battle over there in Western Peloponnese in Greece. You've had a little bit of time, more time to reflect upon it since I last spoke to you with Ali Nicholson on this same podcast. What conclusions have you made for yourself?
I'd made the conclusions, I think, at the time. I'm happy that I'm skiing some good scores. I was frustrated with the final, but I mean, that's obvious. So, but I'm here, and there's, you know, a lot of good skiers, but it's a tournament that I've always enjoyed. The times I've competed in it, I've always done decently well. So let's go, you know, let's go. I feel a bit more refreshed. It was pretty intense. I mean, 18 days of travel, nothing again compared to these guys come from America, but 18 days in a row, it was all quite intense with a lot of skiing, but I managed to get back to the UK, had a couple of not so much days off, but days in a more familiar setting, skiing with Steve Glanfield over in Oxford, which is always, it's kind of my oasis, you know. It's like the place where I feel most at home. I did my first gold pass, and I said, man, it's good to be home. And it's funny, Oxford increasingly is my home. I think it's you know, you Swiss ski school over there in America, and with skiing with Ronnie Barton on Corner Lake on the east side of Orlando, like these are the three places where I just feel like this is just the spot that I'm happiest skiing. So that was really nice to do this week.
All right, they cranked up a little bit of music in the background, but we won't let that deter us. This is ninth edition of the San Gervasio Pro-Am. And this tournament really has a little bit of a mystique associated with it, with the organization and just the general look and feel of this competition, right?
Yeah, let me tell you a story. Just, you talk about the ninth edition. It was about a month out from the first edition in 2014, and it was my first year at university in my second semester, my first year at university in Louisiana, and I'm sitting with Matteo, who very modestly said it was a small competition the first year, but I mean it was maybe small compared to what it is now, but it was still a great competition. But I was sort of the competition started on the first weekend that I had to be in the US for university, and I sort of said, no, Matteo, I'm not going to be able to make it, man. He goes, listen, Freddie, don't be so ridiculous. You got to come to this tournament. You got to support European skiing. You know, he said generously that I was someone that could, you know, push the needle a little bit. I was among the better skiers in Europe, and I could help, you know, make it a successful tournament, and therefore, you know, hopefully build a legacy. And so what did I do? I booked a flight 3 days afterwards. I moved my flight backwards by 3 days and missed my first few days at university and got in trouble with my teachers. But I'm bloody glad that I did, because I mean, if I had any impact on the future and the recent success of this tournament by sort of turning out the first year, unfortunately I won, which was nice.
Okay.
My first pro win back in 2014. First of a few. Hopefully some more ahead. But it's a phenomenal event. I was going over today on my long journey over here from England. I got up at 4 o'clock this morning. Got a train.
Oh, wow.
Trains, planes, and automobiles over to get here. But I was thinking in the past, like, got year by year, of the placements I've had here, and I think I've had to miss a few through injury, unfortunately, including last year and including 2017. By and large, I've done decently well here, and it's an event that I've always really enjoyed. I mean, it's so cool to have a tournament in Europe that's, we're on a ninth edition, okay, and it would be the 10th edition if it wasn't for COVID. It would certainly have happened in that 2020 year. Matteo, I know he really didn't want to call it off, but he also, let's not forget, made the brave decision to put it on in 2021 when there was a bunch of tournaments cancelled. There was, well, let's not name names, but there was a bunch of tournaments on the calendar schedule that year that were that were going to happen, and they cancelled a handful of weeks out. Matteo said, "I don't care. I don't care who turns up. I want to have the tournament. It's got to happen for the sponsors. It's got to happen for the skiers. It's got to happen for the world to be able to experience some water skiing on TV this year." We had TWBC out here that year, and it happened. It was great. It was a wonderful thing to do to have that tournament in Europe. And then, of course, I think maybe as a result of that happening, then they all came back the next year, and look where we are now, 2023, and we've had five phenomenal events happen in Europe, and I credit Matteo, the visionary, for planting the seed that has grown the tree that has made European water skiing as relevant as anything in water skiing, including in America, which has been the home of the sport. And look, we had the best round of water skiing ever happen in Europe last year, and that's because of Matteo's input at the start.
Indeed, indeed. Now, obviously, you've been brought up to speed a little bit of what happened to Fedele, the main patriarch of this site, alongside Claudio Bernatti. Tell us a little bit of what you knew about what happened last year and how things have changed in the last 12 months with Fedele back in pocket.
Yeah, I mean, Matteo was keeping me updated that, you know, he had this illness. He was in the hospital. It was very rare, and then he kind of, you know, saw some specialists and managed to bring it back and went from, I mean, I think probably a place where he wasn't necessarily going to be certainly getting water skiing again, but also, you know, might be in really, really poor shape. But I watched him ski today. Everyone was gathered around the TV, and he ran 5:13, I believe.
Yeah, he did.
And you know, the powerhouse is back. The broadest shoulders in water skiing, with the exception of potentially his son, were back on the water. Great to see. And you know, it's just another part of the event, isn't it? It's so wonderful to see families in this sport together. And I mean, my parents both skied today. Mum ran a equal best ever at 52Ks. We're so lucky to have a sport that we can compete with our parents and with our families. And I'm sure that was very special for Matteo today, especially after what happened last year.
Tell us a little bit about Fedele Lucieri on the water, because he selected C3+.
Yeah, well,
that's nuts, isn't it? Right.
It's a lot. I'm not sure I've ever tried C3+. Maybe when I was trick skiing. But yeah, he's a bull. He's a strong man, and obviously it worked for him. I mean, that's a big score, especially for someone that was sort of bedridden a year ago.
Yeah, indeed. It's a little bit counterintuitive to make that setting, but whatever works for him. I'm sure that once he gets back out in the water a little bit more often and trains for more tournaments, maybe, just maybe, he might consider a change of setting. But enough of that. You did mention your parents out here. I mean, every set of parents hold a unique responsibility in the successful skier, and you're no exception. So what is it like to have them out here watching you, supporting you on one of the rare occasions when y'all meet up in the same place at the ski tournament?
It's really great. I skied with my parents at the Nationals last year in Oxford, and this will be the only one I ski this year with them, and it's wonderful. You know, my parents were really great growing up because they never really pressured me. I saw a lot of my peers were getting pressure put on them by their parents who weren't really good at skiing themselves. Well, my mum always says that she always wanted me to do well, but she cared almost more about her own skiing than mine, and that was the right way for it to be. I mean, I never had excess pressure. I always was sort of nurtured as opposed to pushed, and that definitely allowed me to get the motivation for myself. I was never bribed. I was never, you know, promised a new ski if I ran 3:16 like some of the people I skied against. It was always just, you know, just go out there, do your best, and do it because you love it, not because of any sort of reward on the horizon, which, quite frankly, that's stood me pretty well, considering that I'm a professional water skier now, and you've got to do it because you love it, because the rewards are
very few and far between.
Well, no, let's not say that. I mean, they're getting better, and we're very grateful for all the tournaments and that are happening that put money in our pockets and the sponsors and stuff, but I mean, you know, we're not doing this for fame and fortune. So, I mean, from day one, because of my parents, my dad and my mum giving me the opportunity to love this sport, and I do love it. I have loved it ever since. It's been my motivation to be more or less where I am now, competing for the biggest events in the world, you know, since I was very young. So very grateful to them, and I really do enjoy the fact that I'm able to ski in a tournament with them.
All right, then. You recently jumped on to a new ski. Same model, just a different ski, because you noticed that the original one that you skied on in the European portion of this tour kind of got under a little bit of strain and started to show a little bit of wear.
As a result of a crash, I must say. I mean, it was totally human error that caused the issue with it. A big crash I had at Monaco, in which Greg Desfond, one of the sponsors here and the organizer of the Monaco tournament, swam out across the lake to stop me from drowning when I was injured. So when I was winded, and he thought I was injured. But yeah, no, I mean, the ski took a beating and yeah.
All right, so you're on that ski now, and two competitions in. Well, we haven't gone to the second one in yet. But how did you feel after Kyathas?
I did Lacano in Greece and Kyathas on the new ski.
Okay.
So yeah, good. I mean, I'm running big scores on it. Do I feel like I still would like to dial it in a little bit more? Especially, you know, changing boats, changing lakes, all that sort of stuff. It's not so easy. But you know, I don't feel like I'm 100% in tune with it just yet. But I'm getting there. And I think that, you know, when I do get there, I'll be hopefully, you know, doing better than I have done, which is, you know, you've always got to aim for improvement.
Okay, I'm sure you set some goals for what you want to achieve during the course of a season, and some people actually set goals for certain points in the season. I don't know whether you're into that at the moment, but how do you feel you've gone so far? We're about halfway through.
Well, I looked at it. I don't do that. I don't set goals. I want to win every event. That's, you know, that's the aim. And so I'm 8 events in.
Sounds simple, yeah.
Yeah, I'm 8 events in. I've been on the podium every time. I've got a third at Kingdom of Darkness. I got a second at 5 events, and I got 2 wins. So that's solid. You know, that's solid. That's probably as good of a run as I put together in terms of high placement. You know, it's like I said to you when we spoke a month ago. I want to turn those seconds into firsts, and then I did. I had 2 wins, fairly narrowly lost at Lacano, sort of, not you know, a million miles away from first, and then got absolutely destroyed last weekend in Kyathas. But you know, my aim is to be as high as possible all the time, and I'm happy. I mean, I can't complain. I got back to Oxford this week, and Steve, my coach and friend, said to me, "Well, you got to be pretty happy with that." And I said, "Yeah, honestly. I'd for 2 firsts and 2 seconds over those 18 days I was away, I'd have bitten your hand off, quite frankly." Which, yeah, I'm happy about it. But now I've got to keep on moving, and I know that now the problem is, as soon as you do well, you want to stay there, and I want to be winning more and being right at the top as much as possible.
Head-to-head format this time around, does that give you cause for concern, or is it a different format, isn't it?
Going to be unpopular here, but I don't love head-to-heads. I just feel that what people maybe wouldn't realize is that it puts so much pressure on the first day, which is often, you know, I've traveled in and haven't practiced. The first day becomes so important because you really want to be at the very top, so that you can have a higher seeding for the second day. If you're in the, if you, even if you make the finals in sort of, you know, 5th to 7th or 8th place, you're in bad shape. If you tie with someone on the following day, you will go out. So I don't love it. Not to be negative about it, but I, you know, being honest and straight, I think that straight final format we have is probably what I would choose. But we have to mix it up. We have to, you know, have different methods. And you know, we've had during this European Tour of 5, we've had 3 straight finals, and this will be the second head to head. We're bookending with head to heads. I won the last head to head, so I've won head to heads before. So you know, let's go do this.
All right, then. Thanks a lot, Freddie Winter. We'll wrap this up so you can get some beauty sleep and get ready for your first round tomorrow. It's going to start at 8:30 a.m. On Saturday morning with the Junior Challenge presented by Radar Skis, with the juniors and the boys to come afterwards, then round one of women and men. So any parting comments you would have?
No, once again, Tony, happy to see you. Happy that we are going to have the benefit of TWBC coverage. I was sitting next to Jeremy at dinner, and I'll once again make reference to the incredible filming that he did when Whitney won, the sort of happy look on her face that he zoomed in on as she was moving and sinking into the water at the Swiss Pro earlier this year. It was just phenomenal. You know, we're lucky to have that level of broadcast here. One other thing I'll say, there was a chap I met earlier from Switzerland. He came up to me and he said, "Hey, Freddie, you said on the movie that people don't really care." Well, that's not true, because we saw the movie and then we wanted to see the best in Europe, the best skiers come to Europe, and we wanted to come see it. So they traveled from Switzerland to come to this tournament. So in some ways, you know, that movie has that film has inspired people to come and watch. And I think that's just so exciting. That's TWBC once again influencing. I'm going to be accused of sucking up to you, but I'm obviously very happy you guys are here.
All right, then. Thanks a lot. And that was Freddie Winter as part of the On Tour with Freddie Winter series, as part of the TWBC podcast. We thank him once again. But for now, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.